free. Come south of the border with me.
Ed Sheeran, South of the Border, and before that, Silk City together with Dua Lipa and Electricity. It's 10 past 11 Thursday morning, Cheshire's Salt 106.9. It's our legal hour, last Thursday of the month, and Chris has joined us from Thornycroft Solicitors. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, you too. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has.
If you've got any questions for Chris at all, please do send us an email. It's studio@silk1069.com. And of course, as much detail as you can give, the better. We'll start straight into question one. I think my husband and myself have finally decided that we need to separate. We've not been together very long, but we do have a small child. I think my husband is quite bitter, and I suspect he's going to be difficult. He works on a self-employed basis, and I'm pretty certain from previous experience of him dealing with the authorities that he'll not be honest about how much money he earns or what money he has. How do I ensure that I get my fair share of everything and that he pays the appropriate level of maintenance for our child?
Right. Tricky one. Two different strands to it, because there's two different systems. So if we deal with the, is it the easier one? I don't know. Maintenance for children. Nothing to do with the courts and lawyers anymore, broadly speaking. Mrs. Thatcher took it away from us all a number of years ago. So if you live in this country, maintenance, if you can't agree it, or if you want a yardstick, you use the formula from the Child Maintenance Service, which is the nice new name for the Child Support Agency, as it was originally called. And it's a mathematical formula based upon what the paying party earns. Now, these days, there's a bit of joined up thinking, I think, because the Child Maintenance Service can talk more or less directly to the taxman and go off what you've declared to the taxman. Straightforward if you're on PAYE. If you're on a self-employed basis, it's more complicated because you're obviously paying tax on income from the year or more ago, because that's the way it's worked out. And of course, there are lots of ruses if you're self-employed to mitigate the amount of tax you paid. So there's a whole body of case law come up about dealing with situations where people are clearly earning a lot more than they're actually saying. It's by no means foolproof, and it is could be tedious. You've got to be quite determined to go through it. But ultimately, the government gives the CMS the power to make its own decisions about what it thinks people are genuinely earning based on their lifestyle. If we then turn to the wider picture of sorting out the finances on divorce between the two of them, the starting point for any exercise like this is what I've spent the best part of 30 years trying to explain to people, is that before you can start dividing up what you've got, you both need to properly understand what there is. So we lawyers talk of disclosure. You tell your spouse what you've got, and you usually give them documents, and you get documents in exchange. And if you've got a lawyer acting for you, we need to see it all, we need to digest it all, and then we look at what changes need to be made to produce a fair result. Now, if someone won't go along with that exercise, they won't tell you what they're earning, or they won't tell you how much money they've got in the bank, or you think they're filtering it away to a Swiss bank account or whatever it might be, then there are procedures in place. You're in the realm then of going to court. There's an initial stage in the court process where you both got to fill in an awful form called Form E. It's like 28 pages, and it gets longer and longer and longer because you've got to add all your bank statements and your accounts and pension statements and valuations and all sorts of things to it. It's quite an exercise to do, but it's a very thorough form. You've got to do that. You've got to swear that it's true, or declare that it's true these days. There's then a process for asking questions about that. And in extreme cases, the court can make orders that someone pays for a forensic accountant to comb through everything. Obviously, you're talking about a lot of money then. So the bottom line is, people, if they're determined, can make it very hard to get to the bottom of what their finances are. Most people aren't quite clever enough to hide it in such a way that you can't spot it. So, for instance, from bank statements, if you see a transfer to account number so-and-so and you haven't got statements of account number so-and-so, you ask for them and then you can see where it's gone. So you've got to be fairly determined to get it, and it can be expensive. But there are ways to get information out of reluctant people, so you can properly understand what there is. The other thing is that, that there are cases where the court has just decided that if someone's determined not to play ball and cooperate, they'll just, the judge will make his or her own assessment of what he thinks they've got and make a ruling based on that. And that may be good for the person who's seeking it, or it may be bad for them. But and again, it may be for the person who's not cooperating ends up paying more than they would have done if they'd been straightforward right from the start. So not straightforward, unfortunately, like many things in family law and divorce finances, but there are ways.
More from Chris coming up very soon.